If you would take a Pew Bible and turn to page 1507 and 1508, or turn in your own Bible to Matthew chapter 11, or on your phone or tablet, Matthew chapter 11. I'm just going to read verse 20 through 30. I know we read 28 through 30 earlier, and those are the actual verses we're going to look at. But let's stand together as we honor God's Word. And if you're able to stand, and if not, that's perfectly okay. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 20, it says, "Then Jesus began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we come this morning, each of us, knowing something of what it is to carry a burden, knowing what it is to meet difficulties and struggles in life. And we are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you put this invitation and invited us to come to you. And so we ask that as we draw near to you this morning in your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would draw near to us so that we might know that precious gift of rest and peace that is found in Christ Jesus alone. And this we ask in his precious name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And for a few moments, we want to just look together. We're continuing the journey with Jesus. We've been going through the Gospel of Matthew. And here in the 11th chapter is this wonderful invitation. And as we come to look at it together this morning, just noticed with me the context in which that invitation is given. People were burdened. The religious leaders of the day said, "You must keep all of these laws and regulations and traditions and so on." And so a heavy load was placed upon people. If you read through the chapter, you'll see that's why Jesus is bringing these words against these cities and so on, because they have seen the wonders that the Lord Jesus did and the freedom that Christ would bring. The amazing truth that tradition or keeping of the law does not save. The only thing that can save a person, the only thing that guarantees you and I that we can go to heaven, is to be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, given for you and me on Calvary's cross. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. It is about knowing Christ. And as we live in our days and times, these words have tremendous meaning too, don't they? What a frantic, busy pace people keep today. I wrote to an old friend of mine from the Billy Graham days to ask about a speaker for our missions conference next year. And I got a response yesterday or Friday, pardon me, from his secretary that said he could speak to you between 3 and 3:30 on the 15th of March or between 3 and 3:30 on the 17th of March. Now, the 17th is St. Patrick's Day. So I think that's a good day for an Irishman to call. So I might pick that one. But you see, his life is so structured that there are just these little windows, and we know what it is to be busy, don't we? But no one understands stress and pressure on time like the Lord Jesus does. And the things that we face today may seem new compared to biblical times, but the very root that is behind all of these things is exactly the same. Life goes by, and oh, there is so much to do in it. And there are so many things that say, you need to do this, you must do that, you should do something else. And I want to say to you, you know, the best thing that we could ever do in all of the issues and things of life is to take up the invitation that Jesus gives here. Now, he is speaking to people who are burdened by all of those things that they're supposed to do. Do you ever feel like that? Overwhelmed? I don't know about you, but I have noticed that trouble never comes alone. That's an old Irish proverb, actually. Seems to come just thing after thing after thing. It's like the first chapter of Job. This happens, and then another disaster, and another, and another. And we get caught up in those kind of things so easily. And the Lord, as he was speaking to a people so burdened, speaks to you and me today. We look at the invitation of Jesus. Come to me. And in Matthew's gospel, it's the only place in the New Testament that this is recorded. You won't find it in the other gospels. It is that unique invitation that Jesus makes so personal to each one of us. Come to me. Now, you know, when I'm looking for something to help, I can go here or there or somewhere else. But the invitation of Jesus is, come to me. And it is amazing as we come to him how he undertakes for things. Rest is a gift. Relief, anxiety comes upon all of us from time to time at least, and Jesus is our help in those kind of struggles and difficulties. He is our help when we are burdened by sin and shame and so on. He is our help when we're burdened by all of the struggles that this life can throw upon us. And it is only Jesus that gives this deep kind of rest. It's really speaking about emotional healing, not being torn here, there, and the other place, but to know what it is to come to him, and he gives rest. You know, that kind of rest is priceless, isn't it? We wear ourselves out so often, thinking and worrying and being anxious and being driven by the circumstances of life. And Jesus says, come to me. The Billy Graham team sent me home from the St. Louis, Missouri crusade and said, go home. You stay home for 6 weeks. You don't preach. You don't talk to anybody. You don't do anything. Do you know how hard that is to do? because we become accustomed to just going and going and going and going. My boss said, "You're burned out." And I said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Yes, you are." And I said, "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are. Do you like this job?" "Yes, you are." Now, I freely confess, I was burned out. But I didn't know it. And you might be sitting here this morning, and there are so many things that are heavy in your life that you don't know what to do with or where to go. But the busyness will keep you just running and running and running. Jesus said, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest." The people that he spoke to were under the yoke of legalism, and they were burdened and incapable of helping themselves. And so Jesus is saying, "Come to me." That hasn't changed. We are incapable of helping ourselves. I think about an old military term that I learned many years ago when I was on the wrong side of the law. Here it is. Having failed in our objective, we have redoubled our efforts. That is the human side of things. We just go harder at it to try to fix everything. But Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." As we think about that rest, it's received only that one way. Just come to him. He invites us to do it. In fact, if you read this verse, it's a command. Come to me. It's not, if you feel like it, you might want to come to me. He's not saying, "Well, you know, sometime you could think about coming to me." He says, "Come to me. All those burdens and things that you carry, come to me." You know what? I like that. Oh, in fact, I love that sense when the devil loves to pile things on and life seems to have so many fragments and difficulties. And Jesus says, "Come to me." There's nobody else with that depth of love or that invitation. He does not impose conditions. "When you clean that up, come to me." No. He promises rest if we will come. And he does just exactly as he promises. Rest for the soul. Do you need that kind of touch today? Life just get weary and worrying and on the story goes. Well, the presence of Jesus is here, for he said, "Where we gather, he is in the midst." And I'm so grateful for that. How about you? I love coming to church to meet with my Heritage family, but I love coming to church most of all to meet with Jesus and to gather with him and to feel again that heartbeat of his love and compassion and strength. Secondly, as we think about this text, we see the implications of what Jesus shares in verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." There are three things that cause us to have unrest in the inner part of our being and a weariness that just makes life a drag. What are they? The wrong kind of yoke. Now you know what a yoke is. You see, you can put two cattle together with a wooden yoke and cause them to plow a furrow. You can be yoked together with someone in a partnership. And if the yoke is pulling, or the people are pulling in different ways, the yoke begins to hurt and to grind upon us. Jesus says, the wrong kind of yoke is what causes us to be unrested deep in our being. That's very hard. Sin is a hard master. Shame rests upon the human heart and deep in the inner being. I talked to somebody on Thursday night who said, you know, if people knew what's in my heart, they wouldn't even sit anywhere close to me. And I said, why should you be any different than me? And it seemed like a slap in the face because the person looked at me and said, well, I thought I was the only one. But you see, sin is such a hard taskmaster. We don't talk much in our society about sin, unless it's in some kind of mocking way, which is sometimes what the church receives in these days, the mock of the world. But sin is no joke, is it? Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what brings that deep trouble and shame that we cannot get rid of until we come to Christ. Jesus said that the kind of burden that we carry also is what makes us weary. Very heavy burdens. You just never know. Last weekend, I took Dr. Peasley, our mission speaker, out for lunch. Went to a local restaurant. I said to the young woman who was our waitress, she's 18, I said to her, thank you for bringing the food. I'm going to pray, God bless it. Is there anything that I could pray for you? And she said, I have a brain tumor. You never know. You just never know the burdens that people carry. Over here one day, some of us were doing lunch, and I asked a waitress over at Trifon's over here by the university, can I pray for you? And she said, my brother was just murdered. You never know the burdens that people carry. But the thing is, Jesus is willing to take those burdens. And the kind of teaching that people have, that is what he speaks about here. He says, learn from me. Because you see, the world teaches, oh, you do this and this and this, and you'll be happy and you'll be prosperous and you'll have it all together. I love what Vance Havner used to say when he was in his 80s preaching. He'd say, the problem is when I get it all together, I can't lift it. And it's still true today, isn't it? Oh. The wrong teaching brings a weariness, a heaviness. Some years ago when we were ministering in Elk Point, Alberta, I used to go to the parents' teacher's school meeting once a year just so I could frustrate myself. Because every year they would say, we are lowering the age of sex education because we want to eliminate teenage pregnancies. And I would say, is it working? No. I'd say, well, have you thought about teaching some biblical principles? No, 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 no. You cannot teach morals. That was the standard answer year after year after year. Until in frustration one year I said, no, I guess you can't, but you can sure teach a lack of them. That's what the teaching of the world will give you. No standards. No sense of a holy God who invites us to know him, to walk with him, to experience him. It is not enough to loose the yoke or remove the burden or to condemn the teaching. Here we see and we understand the sources of the troubles that come upon us. When we're yoked to the wrong source and receiving the wrong teaching and burdened beyond measure, the people in the text tried to do all the things that they could do, but still came short. and still found an emptiness in their heart. Looking in frustration for peace and rest, it's never found in all the philosophies of the world, but it is found at the feet of Jesus. It is found when we come to Him. Thirdly, and lastly, let me just come back to the text here and look at the exchange that Jesus offers. He's offering to you and me a daily experience of Himself. Oh, you know, you read in the Bible, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He had that daily experience of just walking with the Lord. You look in scriptures and you see something that is absolutely amazing. So consider with me for a moment the exchange that Jesus is offering. He's saying, let's exchange yokes. That yoke, all those worries about the family, that yoke that chafes because there's that prodigal son, daughter, father, mother. Let's take that off. And let me exchange it for my yoke. Let me tell you how much I love you. Let me tell you how faithful I will be to you as we walk along. Let me take those worries and concerns, and I'll carry them. I'll carry them. He's saying that His yoke is pleasant, and you'll find rest for your soul. His yoke, you see, lifts us up, strengthens us, brings us into the will and work of God, and it brings fulfillment. On Thursday night, I had a massive crowd in Cumberland House. 5. And I was so happy because if one had come, the Lord would still have had me preach that message on loneliness. You see, I know I've tried many things in life, but when I don't walk in closeness to Jesus, something is missing. And we can try to fill that space with all kinds of things, but when we exchange the yoke that we carry and the worries and concerns and all the rest and exchange it for His love and His compassion, we begin to discover that blessed deep walk with Jesus just step by step. And there are times when we say, Lord, it's dark. I can't see where I'm going. And He says, I've still got you in the yoke. Trust me. And there are times when we think, Lord, could this possibly be your will and your way? And He says, stay in the yoke, close to me. It'll be all right. He speaks to us so tenderly as we walk along with Him and gives to us the fullness of His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love and liberty, not of bondage. In John chapter 8, where we find a woman caught in adultery and brought before the Lord so that He could condemn her and say that she should be stoned, instead He says, forgiven, redirected. You look in Luke chapter 19 and you'll find a little man. I am often dubbed Zacchaeus. A wee little man up in a tree. A rotten guy. And Jesus looks at him and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your place. You see, when we take that exchange of yoke, hope comes into life. The strength and the work of God is there. And we have direction and peace. The second exchange that Jesus says is one of burdens. My burden, he says, is light. When I was young and skinny and scrawny, I managed to get the Charles Atlas course. Now, some of you are too young. You would not have ever known about Charles Atlas, but he was a strong guy. And on the cover of that stuff, there was Charles holding the world. I did those exercises till I was blue in the face. I still can't hold up the world. How about you? Yet we keep on trying to carry those burdens, don't we? The Lord says, exchange it. Come to me, and I'll give you emotional peace. We'll cast that old fear and discouragement out, and we'll walk on together. And the third exchange that he mentions here is an exchange of teaching. Learn of me. Not just an outward change, but a change in the heart and deep in the understanding. When Jesus Christ becomes a teacher, it is a transformation that happens. We learn from him. He is meek and lowly and humble. And we begin to understand all of my weaknesses and failures. The Lord can take that and mold me into the person that he needs me to be. And I find fulfillment in life. In his teaching, there's rest and there's peace and there's love. He heals the soul and he binds up our wounds. Come to me. Don't you love this text? Hudson Taylor in China as a missionary for years would seek the Lord and say, I want this deeper life. I want to really know you, Lord. And one day as he read in John chapter 15, it was as if the Savior turned on the searchlight. Hudson would try and try and try, but when he read that text, it said, abide in me. And he said, Lord, that's it. That's what you want me to do. Abide in you. Just to know that day by day, I'm abiding in you. I'm coming to you to share my life, my concerns, my thoughts, and from you I'm receiving in your word and by your spirit the guidance that I need, the help that I need, the strength that I need. All of those things are found when I come to Jesus. So let me finish by saying, do you need to take his invitation today? I love the fact that Jesus never coerces anyone. He never forces us, but he invites us constantly. And this morning as we close, we're going to sing together. While we're singing, now it takes a bit of faith to step out, because when we have pews, you got to step past somebody. Or you could just say, come on with me. Because most of us are saying, well, my burdens are not that big. I'm not going. The pastor, he needs to go for sure. Yeah. We can carry them and go out exactly the same as we came in. Or we can bring them to the Lord this morning, to his altar, and say, Father, I'm bringing my depression. I'm bringing my struggle. I'm bringing my family. I'm bringing my finances. I'm bringing those things that are just so heavy in life. I'm bringing those decisions. Who will my partner be? What should I do with my life? What should I do with what's left of it? I'm bringing all those decisions. So as Pastor Shea leads us in song, Let me encourage you. Just come and gather with me and let's ask the Lord. We Lord, come to you with all of this so that all of your life can be in all of my life. And I can live the exchanged life where Jesus is in control of it all. Pastor, would you lead us? And friends, would you come? And we'll pray together at the end.